Chapter 4 Magician Thane kept his promise in giving Cine her first quiz the next morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, to be precise, and with Jonto as his messenger. Cine awoke to the skeleton's folded countenance grinning inches from her nose and shrieked loud enough to call Fennel, who had been sniffing for mice in the living room downstairs. Cine commanded the skeleton to cease, as Magician Thane had earlier, and to her relief, the paper butler fell into a harmless heap of cardstock bones at the foot of her bed. A small, almost thoughtless spell, but for the first moment since bonding to paper, Cine felt like she might actually have some real power. Magician Thane quizzed her on the different paper types he had shown her in his office the day before. Thanks to her keen memory, Cine got all of them right. The paper magician graded her with a content nod, then left her to her studies. Her studies included reading the textbooks Magician Thane had assigned her. She started with Marcus Waters' Guide to Pyrotechnics, as it sounded the most interesting. But the print was tiny and only sparsely populated with figures, making it somewhat difficult to understand. She only read half a chapter. After a trip to the kitchen for toast, she started on Anatomy of the Human Body, Volume 1, which proved a much more fascinating, if slightly grotesque, read. Over the next few days, Cine helped herself freely to the paper stacks in the library to practice her basic folds. Magician Thane had a habit of quizzing her at random times and without warning, so she fought to learn quickly. Thursday, he quizzed her twice. Friday, she practiced so many folds, she developed a blister on the tip of her right index finger. As a result, Saturday, Magician Thane taught her how to make snowflakes, the same that had fallen from the library ceiling her first day as an apprentice.
"Cuts follow the same rules as folds, more or less," he explained, sitting cross-legged on the floor of the library with his board across his lap. "You must make them precise if they're going to work, unless they're for decoration. Then it doesn't matter."
"Are these ones decoration?" Cine asked, thinking of the small snowflake she had filched and hidden in her desk drawer. Last she checked, it had still felt cold. Magician Thane folded a white square of paper into half-corner folds, which turned it into a narrow triangle.
"What do you think?"
She thought of the falling snow, the intricate snowflakes in all shapes and sizes scattered over the carpet. Each had been unique, just like real snow.
"It's decorative," she answered.
"Very astute," Magician Thane said, lifting a pair of scissors. "There is one cut that the snowflakes must have in order to become cold. Observe."
He held up the triangle and pressed his scissors into its thickest fold, cutting just a centimeter below the highest point. He sliced out a small, almond-shaped portion of paper and let it tumble onto his board.
"Chill," he commanded.
Nothing happened to the paper that Cine could see, but when he handed it to her, it felt frosty. The coldness soothed her blister.
"The rest is creative inclination," he said.
By Monday, the kitchen had run low on groceries.
"I can fetch them myself," Cine said. "I don't mind."
Magician Thane looked up from his desk, where a small ledger sat open, its cover pinned down on one side by a mug of lemon tea and on the other side by a butter knife. He held a pen in his left hand.
"That's not a requirement, Cine," he said.
"I don't mind," she repeated, smoothing the pleats in her skirt. "If I'm going to live here, I might as well pull my weight.
And I wouldn't mind taking a break from this house.
I can't keep making decent meals with the scraps left in your cupboards, if I may say so."
Magician Thane smiled, again more in his eyes than in his mouth.
"Also not a requirement. How is your reading coming?"
"I'm finished with Human Anatomy and nearly finished with the Tao one."
Magician Thane turned around in his chair and scanned the shelves behind him. Leaning down, he pulled a thick volume from the bottom shelf to his right and held it out to her. Its cover read, Anatomy of the Human Body, Volume 2. Cine frowned and took the book.
But if you insist, he went on, I can call a buggy for you. Don't be out too late.
He tapped the uninked side of his pen to his lips.
I suppose I should teach you animation. When you get back, then.
He handed her several bills. She was surprised that he trusted her with his money already, and went back to his ledger. Her lessons in animation didn't actually start until her second week of tutelage. She began by prepping an 8-inch square of yellow paper with all its folds, which she had to name as she completed them. The result was a crinkled square that had a star-like pattern pressed into it. Prepping the paper would make subsequent folds easier to make, though the final creation would be more sluggish, so Magician Thane explained.
Now,
the paper magician said, demonstrating on his own square of paper without preparation folds,
we'll start simple. A frog.
Cine remembered the demonstration of the paper frog from her first day. She remembered it well enough that, in her mind's eye, she could see Magician Thane's fingers forming every fold, and she felt confident she could create an identical creature without additional instruction. However, she kept this information to herself and watched the paper magician work, searching for any folds her memory may have missed. She found none and mentally patted herself on the back.
Breathe,
Magician Thane commanded his paper frog, and the animal shook with spirit and hopped from his hand. The paper frog made it 2 feet from Magician Thane's knee before the magician commanded it, cease, and left it inanimate once more. Despite the seeming simplicity of the spell, Cianne's hands itched to complete it. She steadied them, not wanting to appear hot-headed, not wanting to shirk Magician Thane's lesson. She waited for his permission to fold. Her back stiffened just a bit, and she glanced to her yellow square of paper, retracing memories from the past several days. When had that strain of discipline entered her head? She couldn't recall making the decision to sit as obediently as a paper dog. She glanced to Fennel, who scratched behind one of his paper ears in the corner by the door. Licking her lips, Cianne began folding, regardless, following the same steps Magician Thane had shown her. She felt his eyes on her, an oddly heavy stare, but he made no comment. Careful to line up the paper's edges just so, Cianne formed a paper frog and held it out in her hand, examining her slightly crinkled creation. She whispered, breathe, to it, and to her relief, the animal came alive. It wiggled one leg, then the other, and jumped sleepy jumps in her palm. A smile tickled her lips. Fennel lifted his head and peered toward her, sniffing the air.
Well done, Magician Thane said. I want you to practice making them a few times before attempting them without the preparation folds. Tomorrow we'll start on cranes and jays.
Only one day on frogs? Cianne asked as Magician Thane rose from the floor, his strange indigo coat falling around his legs as he did so. The paper magician quirked a dark eyebrow.
You hardly need more than a day,
he said, gesturing to Cianne's still hopping frog with his chin.
You're coming along rather well for someone who wanted to be a smelter.
Cianne started and dropped her frog, which rolled over onto its back and squirmed like a capsized beetle. Fennel rushed across the room and batted at it with his paws.
How did you know about that?
Magician Thane merely smiled and set his folding board beside the desk, not an inch off of where it had been placed before, centered between the desk's front left and back left legs.
Don't forget your reading,
he added, and he left the room. As promised, Cianne received lessons on folding birds as well as fish, and was later quizzed on folding frogs without paper preparation. She failed that test, but only because Magician Thane insisted her frog had to beat his in a race, and she lost by 2 yards. A bizarre way to rate her performance. Cianne would have protested had her teacher not promised she could retake the test as many times as she wanted before he submitted her grades to Tagus Praff. It was while folding yet another frog for this challenge that the telegraph in the library began to click. Cianne sat at the library desk, having pushed aside several stacks of paper to give herself a decent workspace, and started at the sudden tap-tap-tap of the telegraph. Fennel, snoozing at her heels, leapt up and began barking at the contraption, though his quiet paper larynx couldn't compete with the machine. Setting down a half-finished lime-green frog and scooting her chair back, Cianne stood and hunched over the telegraph, eyes scanning the slip of paper jutting out from it. Found in Solihull. Stop. The words whipped away from her eyes as a new hand pinched the message's corner and pulled it from the machine. Cianne didn't need to turn to know Magician Thane stood behind her. She spied the name Alfred at the end of the message as it flew past her. She stepped back and watched Magician Thane read the note, his bright green eyes holding their secrets for once. She found nothing in his expression save for concentration and a spot on his chin where he had missed shaving that morning. He read the telegram in the space of half a breath and crumpled the paper in his hands. "What's in Solihull?" Cianne asked. The city was over 100 miles away, to the northwest. Magician Thane gave her a small smile, one of his odd smiles, for it was all lip and no eye, and said, "Just a friend." He then turned on his heel and strode out of the library, nearly stepping on Fennel as he went. Cianne peered after him, watching him cross the hall and disappear into his bedroom. What sort of friend had been found in Solihull? She stood there a moment, wondering at the light fleeing from her mentor's eyes. She had the feeling of reading a story with all its even pages torn out. What did that telegram say? Chewing on her bottom lip, Cianne sank back into her chair and returned to her frog, only half her mind on its folds. She had begun forming its back legs when Magician Thane returned with a large stack of things in his hands, paper and books and ledgers and pencils. He dropped them beside Cianne and straightened up two paper stacks on the desk before speaking.
"A spontaneous lesson,"
the paper magician announced, taking a sheet of off-white typewriter paper from the desk. He picked up his board and sat cross-legged on the floor. Hesitating a few seconds, Cianne took another sheet of the same and joined him.
"Watch carefully. This will be quick,"
Magician Thane said, setting the paper long ways before him. He folded up an inch of it, creased it with his thumb, then turned it over to fold it up another inch.
"A paper fan," he explained, flipping the paper over again. "I'm sure you've made these before."
"As a child," Cianne said, glancing to his face. He turned the paper over and over, folding it up and up, somehow managing to get each fold perfect without a ruler.
"The trick is to make it even," he explained. "Every panel must be the same length and width, or the spell won't hold. You can measure it if you'd like, but focusing on that first fold and using it as a guide works just as well. If there's anything left over, you can cut it off."
He finished the fan, having nothing to spare, and pinched its bottom.
"It doesn't need to be secured," he added.
Turning the fan away from Cianne and toward the door, he flapped it lightly. 1, 2, 3 gusts of wind spat out from the paper, too strong to be ordinary, but too weak to do any harm. He set the fan down.
"Simple enough. I want you to practice it while I'm gone."
The words tumbled over one another in Cianne's mind.
Gone? She repeated. "Gone where?"
"Magician's business, as usual,"
he said, standing. He left his board on the floor and returned to the stack of things he'd brought in.
"The Art of Papier-Mâché,"
he said, reading the title of the lowest book in the stack. He pointed to the ledger above it.
"I want you to record notes on it while you read. Take thorough enough notes, and I won't make you write a report."
Cianne's jaw fell. "But..."
"A living paper garden,"
he said, gesturing to the next book in the stack.
"Do the same. I bookmarked chapters 5, 6, and 12. They have exercises in them I'd like you to do. and A Tale of Two Cities. It's just a good book. Have you read it?
Cianne stared at the paper magician, words caught in her throat. He'd gone mad again. He'd tricked her into thinking he wasn't mad, and yet now he'd proved...
And I want that paper fan perfected, he added, withdrawing his hand. Made well, it can give gusts that would embarrass a thunderstorm. And the reading I previously assigned you.
Shaking her head, Cianne stood and asked,
How long do you plan to be gone?
Magician Thane shrugged.
Hopefully not too long. It's quite the bother to break one's routine too many days in a row. Do you know Patrice's contact information, just in case?
Patrice? Cianne repeated, her voice a little higher. Magician Avioski?
Yes, but...
Excellent.
Magician Thane clapped her on the shoulder and strode out of the library.
I'll be on my way. Try not to burn anything down.
Cianne followed after him.
You're leaving now?
I am,
he replied as he vanished into his bedroom. Somehow in the few minutes between receiving the telegram and delivering the pile of homework to the library, he had managed to pack a bag. He returned to the hallway with it in tow. He swept a hand back through his dark hair, and in that moment, Cianne saw a flicker in his eyes and a thinning of his lips. He was worried.
Is everything all right?
She asked, hesitating at the threshold of the library, unsure of her bounds.
Hmm?
He asked, his countenance smoothing between ticks of the library clock.
Quite fine. Do take care, Cianne.
He walked down the hallway as far as the lavatory, where he turned around and added,
And keep the doors locked.
Cianne watched him disappear down the stairs, listened to the quiet padding of his shoes below. Fennel licked her sock. Hurrying to the library window, Cianne peered outside to see Magician Thane walk past the paper flowers in his yard and beyond the warded gate, down the dirt road. Did he have a buggy waiting for him? Cianne didn't realize she had her face pressed to the glass until her breath fogged her vision. The paper magician stepped out of her line of sight and left her alone in his cluttered, barely familiar cottage set in the middle of no man's land. Keep the doors locked. Cianne's heart drooped in her chest.